You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on Meatloaf Monday. We have officially christened it Meatloaf Monday. Hope everybody's hungry right now. And those of y'all that don't like meatloaf, I don't understand. But anyway, Meatloaf Monday. Hey, listen, we're in this first section. I just called this first dipper of the show here, the Trump bump. It's been kind of interesting to not just see some things happening and sense the polls, but you can almost sort of feel in the air that there's a bit of a momentum on the Trump side. And I know that they've just come off the Democratic National Convention. I know they've got, you know, their own sugar high going right now about not having Joe Biden on the ticket anymore. But I thought I would just go ahead and take the opportunity to bring somebody on who lives it and breathes it and sees it on a regular basis. Alabama's U.S. Senator Katie Britt is up tearing things up in D.C., making waves left and right, and she's on the air with us right now. Senator Britt, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Phil. Thank you so much for having me on. I always enjoy the opportunity to talk with you and to be in front of your listeners. So. And certainly no shortage of topics to discuss.
No, it's a target-rich environment right now. Go ahead.
No, I mean, you nailed it just in your intro there. I mean, Democrats are starting, I think reality is starting to sink in. Obviously, you know, they've gone over 30 days with their coronated queen. New nominee, not one vote was cast as far as not one person across this country had an opportunity to go to the ballot box and select her as a Democratic nominee. But the oligarchs in the Democratic Party, the powers that be, the party bosses, found a way to essentially coronate her, their nominee. And now that we've done that, people are starting and we're kind of settling. And you nailed it. They had a bit of a sugar high getting rid of Joe Biden and getting a replacement there, but reality is setting in, and people are starting to ask questions. Why is she not answering questions?
Yeah.
Where does she stand on these issues? And when you can find out, she's either flip-flopped or, unfortunately, where she stands on them will do nothing but drive our country further into a black hole. So reality hasn't changed. Biden-Harris administration is just historically unpopular. And the American people, they don't want four more years of their failures. And I think that's the momentum that you're starting to see. And Donald Trump, that was a brilliant move to end the Democratic National Convention and the next day have Robert Kennedy Jr. there, have that endorsement. It shifted the momentum exactly in the way that we needed, and you're continuing to see and feel that continue to build.
I completely agree, and I want to get your thoughts in more detail on that, but let me ask you this. I mean, so you're inside the D.C. bubble. When you go to work, you're there. You have peers on both sides of the aisle. And I think one of the things that people don't often understand is that sometimes there are people who we may differ with on policy, but we can still chat and we still talk to them. And, you know, it's not like it's like
Everybody's
got animus all the time. But so I wonder, you don't have to tell me who, but are you having any sense from Democrats about their concerns about the election or what they think about having Kamala at the top of the ticket? Is there any buyer's remorse being expressed at all?
You know, I don't think that, if truth be told, that that's who they wanted at the top of the ticket to start with. There was rumblings, you know, back on the Senate floor when it was very clear that Joe Biden was not capable of continuing. You know, the question was, would he step down or could they force him out? Even in those scenarios and kind of those types of conversations, no one was excited about the leadership that she would provide. I mean, you look at the one thing that she's been put in charge of, it was the border. That is clearly an Achilles heel for them because they inherited the most secure border, in 40 years. President Trump handed them that, and they've done nothing but destroy that with over 10 million people coming here illegally, over 2 million that we don't know who they are. are, where they're going, or what their intentions are. I mean, she utterly failed at the one job she was given. She visited, quote unquote, the border one time during her tenure, never even came forward with a policy discussion or solutions. Even when there was talks of that at the end of last year, she was nowhere to be found. So people don't not only respect, I believe they don't respect her ability to lead. And truly, I think there's a reason she finished her own presidential campaign in the 2020 cycle at less than 3%.
Yeah.
So I think that there was a bit of excitement. I mean, you're the first person to put it that way. With regards to they had sugar high because they no longer had Joe Biden. But the reality of who they are stuck with, I think, is setting in. And she's wrong on policy, and she does not have an ability to communicate. And she's even bragging about Afghanistan. I mean, you go back and look at the clips, Phil, and she says, you know, here we mark today Joe Biden's disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. And Vice President Harris wanted to make sure that we knew that that was not just a Joe Biden move, that that was a Biden-Harris move. Back in an interview after that, where we have 13 brave servicemen and women who lost their life as a result of this, which I'd like to just take a side note here and say it was despicable to hear Joe Biden in his first debate with President Trump, back
yes,
in June, say
absolutely.
Not one service member had lost their life. That is utterly, the media should have held him to the fire on that. But all of that to say, she bragged. She said, I was the last person in the room with him before he made that decision. And I feel confident in the decision we made. She owns that. She owns that with her own words.
And she does. And whether she'll take ownership is another story, but she definitely has to own it in the eyes of the public. But, you know, what I thought was interesting, too, you bring up the point about Afghanistan and today being the anniversary of the 13 service members who died at Abbey Gate in Kabul. Today, and I didn't know, by the way, I did not know a former president could still coordinate for ceremonies with the military like this, but apparently they can, because I don't know if you saw it or not, but President Trump today was at Arlington Cemetery at the Tomb of the Unknown, members of the Old Guard helping him participate in a wreath-laying ceremony. And I thought that was just huge. And nobody from the White House, nobody from the Biden-Harris administration or the Kamala Harris campaign saying boo about it. Just Trump out there doing it.
And let me tell you, that is all you need to know. That is how a commander-in-chief conducts themselves. You know, he knows on this day he needs to be with Gold Star families at Arlington National Cemetery, you know, showing his support for the bravest and best among us and those who lost their life, making sure that our flag could still fly free. And yet you have Kamala Harris, who knows where she is, certainly not doing an interview or a press conference.
No.
And then you have Joe Biden, who is at the beach. And I just am over it. You know, we want someone in the Oval Office that understands just how incredible this nation is. And certainly when young men and women step up and say, I am willing to give my life to continue to allow this to be, you know, the home of the free, it is because of the brave. And he gets it. He stands with our men and women in uniform, whether it is the servicemen and women who serve us in our armed forces, or whether it is backing the blue and our men and women who ensure every single day that the safety of our cities and communities continues to be sustained and grow so that our children and our families can live safe and secure lives. So he gets it. And he also gets to, I mean, look at where we are, Phil. I mean, we got in no new wars under Donald Trump, and that's because he understands that peace comes through strength. And so I think today is a terrible reminder, to be truthful with you, the cost of weakness and the cost
Absolutely.
Of appeasement,
yeah.
You know, along with the fact that we have, you know, Americans that are being held hostage by Hamas for over 320-something days at this point, Phil? I mean, a real commander-in-chief would make sure that we got those Americans back. And we don't, not only do we not believe that, you know, is happening with the vigilancy as which it should, we don't even hear this commander-in-chief talk about it. And so I think the stark reality of the kind of commander-in-chief that Donald Trump would be for our nation is on full display today.
And Senator, I think this is, and I say it on the show quite often, this is an example. The things you decided are examples of what happens when someone assumes a position of leadership who has never led anything in their entire life. because there is nothing about anyone in the Biden-Harris administration, other than perhaps the Secretary of Defense, who has ever led an organization, cut a paycheck, balanced a budget, or done anything other than just have what I like to call rhetoric without responsibility. They can speak to it and then they walk away from the podium and not even own a thing. And now all of a sudden they have to own it. Let me ask you this. In the couple of minutes we have left, I would like to get your thoughts on today. Tulsi Gabbard comes out and endorses Trump. Friday, RFK Jr., you know, ended his campaign and endorsed Trump. I don't know who else is in the wings, but I'm looking for a Joe Manchin or somebody else to join in the fray. But what are your thoughts on these folks who are, you know, I won't try to describe them as conservatives, but they believe the Democrat Party has left them, and so they have left the Democrat Party. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. Look, I think we are building a big tent coalition that is putting country over party. And they know that the Democratic Party has gone way too far left. I mean, did you think, Phil, in your lifetime that you would see a Kennedy endorse a Republican for president?
No.
Absolutely not. But you look at the way that this administration, I mean, the Biden-Harris administration continues to want to take away our freedoms, take away our liberties, you know, tax people into oblivion. I mean, just the few things that Kamala Harris has put forth that she would do would drive this country into a black hole. I mean, the bottom line is, this country, I mean, that party, the Democratic Party, has become the party of the fringe. And they are not the Democratic Party of, you know, Robert Kennedy's uncle or even his father. And so I think you were seeing that. I think you'll see more and more people that say, we cannot withstand four more years of this. And in truth, I hope your listeners think about this. In the last 16 years, and this drove me, I couldn't even believe the rhetoric we were hearing out of the Democratic National Convention saying, we need change. We need hope. Well, first off, you're actually in power right now, and the woman that you have nominated is the vice president. So why? Yes, we need change. We agree with you. You just don't understand what change is. And then I would like to say in the last 16 years, they have been in charge for 12 of them.
That's exactly right.
You know, and so the point at which we are, a broken border, the world is on fire, our dollar does not go as far. We are dealing with things about biological men playing in biological women's sports, things that are beyond comprehension. And yet that onus is squarely on the Democratic Party. And Donald Trump will put us back. He will put us back on track. And you know, Kamala Harris is essentially like an arsonist leaving a burning building to go put on a fire suit, you know, firefighter gear to try to go back in and save it. I mean, I hope people see that. And that's certainly what the Democratic Party has done. And I think more and more of them will come over because they know the only pathway forward for our nation, a prosperous and exceptional America, is to leave the Democratic Party and join the Republicans and take back the White House, the Senate, and hold the House.
Senator, I love it when you get on a rant. I love it when you get on a rant. When
when
you're in town, you need to come host Right Side Radio, and I'll take a day off, and you can just have it. I mean, I'm just
I would love it. Oh, my.
Don't think I'm not serious. We'll make that happen. I'm just saying.
Okay, that sounds great, Phil. Hey, thank you so much. And y'all have a wonderful, wonderful week. And let's remember those brave servicemen and women that lost their lives and all of those who serve our country so courageously.
Thanks so much. Senator Katie Britt, we appreciate you. We'll have you on again sometime soon. All right. Listen, I'm serious. I love it. Butters and I are sitting here looking at each other like, man, this is just like we're just sitting back and just enjoying the moment. I love it when she gets on a rant, man.
I'm fired up.
I know.
I hate we got to go to a break.
Oh, better take it to the break, though. I'm looking at the clock right now. All right. Hey, listen, that was good stuff. That was some red meat right there. But we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. Text her to call it 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.